Like to again turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. We looked this morning at verses 3-5. I would like tonight to just read verse 3, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. I want to take the thought, the message this evening from the first part of that verse, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Again, I believe that these words have an immediate application to Isaiah. He was certainly a voice that cried in the wilderness in his day. This verse is more common, or more people know it, has a prophetical interpretation referring to John the Baptist. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all connect this verse to the ministry of John the Baptist. Notice in Matthew chapter 3, Matthew 3, we'll read the first three verses. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Also, we see Mark connects these words to the ministry of John the Baptist. In Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Then also we see Luke does the same thing in the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 3 and verse 4. "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And in the book of John, John the Baptist identified himself as that voice that crieth in the wilderness. Notice in John chapter 1, verses 19 through verse 23. "And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked them, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he said, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.'" So those words, "the voice of one crying in the wilderness," not only identify Isaiah, they also identify John the Baptist. But I believe those words are also descriptive of all the Old Testament prophets that God raised up. They were all voices crying in the wilderness. It would apply to all the preachers that we read of in the New Testament, the apostles and Paul and Barnabas and others. It would have it would apply to all those who have ever preached the truth throughout the history of the world. It would refer to those who are preaching the truth today. They are a voice in the wilderness. So those words, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, I believe they're also descriptive of the Lord's churches today. The Lord's church is to be a voice, is to be a voice that cries in the wilderness. And that is the light in which we want to consider these words this evening. We want to speak on the subject of a voice in the wilderness. A voice in the wilderness. The first thing we notice is the place of ministry. The place of ministry is referred to as the wilderness. That, of course, is a very apt description of the world. It has always been a very apt description of the world. Because like a wilderness, the world is a place that is aimless. It is a place of great restlessness. It's a very unsettled place. It's not a place that you want to settle down in. It is a place that has many pitfalls. It is a place that can leave you maimed. It is a place that can leave you with many, many wounds. In fact, hardly any of us will get out of this world without some wounds that we have received from the wilderness of the world. A wilderness like the world is a place of complications. It can be a very complicated, a very confusing place. It is a place of snags. It is a place of stumbling blocks. It is a place of many, many obstacles. A wilderness, of course, just like the world, can be a place of desolation. It can be a very barren place, a very unfruitful place. It can be a place of great dilemma. It can be a place of great trouble. It can be a place of tremendous distress and great difficulty, a place of hardship, a place of strain, a place of stress, a place of misery, a place of suffering, a place of anguish, and a place of grief, a place of heartbreak, and a place of sorrow. And it can be a place of pain and affliction. And this is the voice in the wilderness. This is the place of our ministry. And much like John the Baptist, we are in a world, and it gets worse as we go along, we are in a world that is abounding in social wickedness, in moral wickedness, in political wickedness, in spiritual wickedness. This is the time in which we live. It was no different for John the Baptist when he came upon the scene. He was that voice in the wilderness, and it was a place that was abounding in wickedness. Notice again, if we go back to the book of Luke, chapter 3, and notice verses 1 and verse 2. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip. And then he goes on to mention some others. These were all very wicked men. And they were in a place of reign. They were in a place of rule. So when John the Baptist came upon the scene, there was political corruption. There was political wickedness on every hand. They were being led by very wicked leaders. But it was also a time when the Word of God was considered as irrelevant. It was a time, notice in verse 2, Anna and Caiaphas being the high priests. Word of God was irrelevant. They were only to have one priest. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, plural. The Bible allowed for one high priest. It was a time just like today when people made changes to the Word of God. It was a time when the religious leaders, everything they did, catered to the standards of a godless, reprobate people. Everything they did, every judgment they made, every doctrinal statement that they came up with, all would meet the standards of a godless, reprobate people. It was a very wicked time. And as we said this morning, they have not heard one word from God in 400 years. And John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he's simply a voice. He is a voice in the wilderness. Just like the prophets in the Old Testament, that God would raise up in the very midst of wickedness, in the very midst of ungodliness, God would raise up a man and have him declare the word of God. They were a voice in the wilderness. Like the preachers and churches that God raised up in the New Testament. These were all voices in the wilderness. And the ministry of Home Baptist Church, it also takes place in a wilderness. It doesn't take place in a garden. It doesn't take place in a flower garden. It takes place in a wickedness, in a wilderness, in a wilderness of sin. In a wilderness of wickedness, in a wilderness of ungodliness, we are to be a voice in the wilderness. We live in a wilderness of abomination. There is abomination on every hand. Everywhere you turn, there's abomination. That which God calls abomination. And this is where the ministry of Home Baptist Church takes place. In wilderness. The place of our ministry and service is a place of darkness. It is a place of deceit. People are deceived today. People do not know the truth today. They do not want to know the truth. They are deceived by the lies of man. They are deceived by the lies of their own heart. They are deceived by the lies of Satan. They are deceived by the lies of their leaders. But people are deceived. This is the world in which we live. Again, it's a place of confusion. When you follow the dictates of your heart, when you follow that which is contrary to God, you are going to have confusion. You're going to have chaos. And this world is bent on going away from God. And this world is a place of confusion. This world is a place of chaos. And it's in this world that we serve. But I want you to notice God's provision for the wilderness. God's provision for the wilderness is a voice. A voice in the wilderness. Isaiah, John the Baptist, all the Old Testament prophets, all the New Testament preachers, preachers today, the Lord's churches today, preachers of the past, and Lord's churches of the past, have been a voice in the wilderness. God has always had a voice. And that is a gracious provision of God. That God would provide a voice in the wilderness. Home Baptist Church is a voice in the wilderness. That speaks of our position. That also speaks of our responsibility. Now, when you think of a voice, you cannot help but think of a word. This book is the Word of God. Book of John, chapter 1, Jesus Christ is identified as the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. What is a word? A word is a medium of manifestation. A word is something that demonstrates. A word is a means of communicating information. This Bible is God's Word. It is a means of communicating information. Information concerning God. Information concerning the ways of God. Jesus Christ is the Word. Again, He communicates information concerning God. Concerning the ways of God. A word is a method of revelation. It reveals our thoughts. A word exhibits something. It may exhibit an emotion that we are feeling. It may exhibit a thought that we are experiencing. But a word exhibits something. This Bible is God's Word. It exhibits God. Jesus Christ is God's Word. It exhibits God. So, both of these, God, the Bible, and Jesus Christ, make manifest the invisible God. They both communicate information about God and His ways. They both reveal and exhibit God and His ways. They put God on display. So we have the Word. We are a voice. Now there's a difference between the voice and the Word. First of all, the Word exists before the voice. This is the Word. We are the voice. Jesus Christ is the Word. We are the voice. Both existed long, long before the voice. The Word also endures after the voice is silent. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 9. Paul doing the speaking, he says, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer." And then notice what he says. "Even unto bonds. But the Word of God is not bound." You can silence the voice. But you cannot stop the Word. You can silence all the voices, or at least try to, of declaring the Word of God. But even if you could silence all the voices, at the end you'd still have the Word of God. If you could silence all the voices, Jesus Christ would still be there. So the Word exists before the voice, and the Word endures long after the voice is silent. What I'm saying is the Word is greater than the voice. The Word has preeminence over the voice. We must always remember this. We are the voice. We are not the Word. We are the voice. Now, a voice, articulates words. A voice expresses words. A voice proclaims words. A voice states and announces the word. We're the voice. In other words, we're here to articulate the word. This is the word. Jesus Christ is the word. We, as a church, are here to articulate and to express and to proclaim and to state and to announce the word. We're the voice. We're not the inventor of the word. We are the voice. We are never, ever the word. We are the voice. And that is why when people say, well, we need a new message, you're not the word. You're the voice. And when people think they have to come up with a new message, or make adjustments to the message, they've gotten confused in what they are. You're not the word. We're the voice. The word is always more important than the voice. So we're not the originator of the word. It's not our business. We're the voice. It is not our business to make adjustments to the word. We're the voice. All we're to do is proclaim what the word says. All we're to do is point to Jesus Christ. Is that not what John the Baptist did? Behold the Lamb of God, he said. He pointed to the word. He expressed the word. Since we are the voice and not the word, we need never be in despair regarding the word of God. We need, no matter how bleak things may appear, it's not our responsibility to make adjustments to the word. It's not our responsibility to come up with a different word. It is our responsibility to express the word. It is our responsibility to proclaim it, to state it. This is the responsibility of every God-called preacher. In some sense, it's a responsibility of every child of God. Every child of God should be a voice in the wilderness. And it is certainly the collective responsibility of the Lord's churches to be a voice in the wilderness. We must not allow the wickedness of the age to deter us from our work. What is our work? We are the voice. We are the voice, therefore it is our business to speak. It is our business to declare the word of God. That's our responsibility. We're simply the voice. And may I say, a voice is not seen, it's only heard. We're not to present ourselves. We're only to speak what God has said. Now that'll upset a lot of folks. You just go forth and be the voice in the wilderness and you'll get plenty of people mad. Those people don't like what that voice articulates. People don't like today what that voice expresses. But John the Baptist has a voice in the wilderness. He wasn't popular with the rebels of God. And he certainly wasn't popular with the religious leaders of his day. And all he did was come forth and declare the word of God. He didn't come forth with any new rules. He didn't come forth with any new standards. He simply came forth and declared the word of God. And simply declaring the word of God did not make him popular and did not make him popular with the religious world. Therefore, it does not upset me when people say, well, you all need to get in the flow with the religious world. No, we don't. We're the voice in the wilderness. Our responsibility is simply to declare what God has said. Now, as you read the Gospels, you see that John the Baptist has a voice in the wilderness. He had the opportunity. And we saw that in the verses we read there in John chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. He had the opportunity to build a great following. The people came to him and they said, "Who are you?" And they obviously thought, many of them thought, that he was Christ. Because he answered and he says, "I'm not the Christ." He could have had quite a following. They said, I'm he. But that's not what he was here for. He wasn't here to get a following. He was a voice. We're not here to get a following. We're the voice. We're simply the voice in the wilderness. They went on to say, "Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I'm not." "Are you that prophet? That prophet that the Bible spoke of?" Which, of course, was Christ. He said, "No, I'm not he." And then he went on to say, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness." It's not our responsibility today to establish a following. It is our responsibility to be the voice. To be the voice in the wilderness. That is, we are messengers. We are the proclaimers of what God has already said. It is our business to say what others cannot say. And they cannot say it because they don't know it. They don't know it. There are many today who cannot declare what's in this book because they don't know what's in this book. You and I are the voice. Home Baptist Church is the voice to declare what others cannot say. And what many will not say. Some may have some knowledge of what's in the Word of God, but they're not going to say. There are many preachers today who I believe have some knowledge of what's in there. You cannot read Ephesians 1. You cannot read Romans 9 unless you are extremely ignorant and not see some very plain doctrines there. And they know they're there. But they're not going to tell the people. It's amazing to me when an Arminian preaches a series in the book of Romans. I would love to be there when they get to Romans 8, Romans 9. I would love to just hear. What are you going to say? And if you're going verse by verse, isn't it all of a sudden going to be very strange if you skip over about 15 verses? I would think that'd get people wondering, "Well, I wonder why I skipped those verses." They will not say. We have the responsibility to say what many will not say. Because they know. If I say that, if I preach that, it'll split my church and we won't have the money to pay off this and pay off that. That's not what it's about. We're the voice. We're simply the voice. In the wilderness. John the Baptist, as the voice, demanded the surrender of rebels to the throne of God. He said in Luke 3 and verse 3, "Repent." To repent is to surrender. He came and he preached a message of repentance. In Luke 3 and verse 9, his ministry is compared to an axe. He said, "The axe is laid to the root of the trees." That describes the ministry of that voice. And that's all we have to do. All you have to do is stand up in the middle of the wilderness and declare God. And that's like an axe cutting down trees. And then that, notice, lastly, we have the wilderness. We have the voice in the wilderness. But then notice the tone of the voice. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. John the Baptist, Isaiah, the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament preachers, they didn't come whispering the word. They came crying. They came and spoke the word loudly, making sure that all could hear what was being said. That word crieth. Again, many times in the Old Testament, when God would call a prophet, he would say, go cry unto the people. That is, go and declare boldly unto the people the word. But this word crieth speaks of the earnestness in which we are to declare the message. It declares the fervency in which we are to declare the message. And I believe the message of God is to be declared earnestly, and it is to be declared fervently, and it is to be declared with passion. It is to be declared in a way that makes people believe that you believe what you're saying. We're the voice. It is never to be declared apologetically. Never. A voice that crieth in the wilderness. It speaks of the zeal in which the word is to be expressed, in which the word is to be proclaimed and announced. The word, of course, again, is the Bible. The word is Jesus Christ, and neither are vague, and neither are uncertain. Both the Bible and Jesus Christ are very explicit. Both the Bible and Jesus Christ are unmistakable. They are distinct. And they are to be declared in that way. A voice that crieth in the wilderness. Again, we're not the word. We are the voice. And our message is to be declared straightforward. There isn't too many things that bother me more than when someone preaches the word of God and no one in the room has any idea what he said. The word of God is to be preached straightforward. It's the word. We're the voice. It is to be declared plainly. It is to be declared exactly as it is written. And it is to be declared directly to the people of whom we are speaking. And it is to be declared with conviction. We need conviction that this is the Word of God. We need conviction that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word of God personified. We need that conviction. And then with boldness, we need to be the voice that crieth in the wilderness. With great boldness and great courage. A voice that crieth. I believe that also speaks of the urgency. The urgency of the message. There's nothing more urgent than the Word of God being declared. And we must feel a sense of urgency. It also speaks of the priority of the message. a voice that crieth in the wilderness. Again, never forget, we're the voice. We're simply the voice. The message is crucial. The message is crucial. Dan Gordon will one day die, unless the Lord comes back first. One day this voice will be silenced. But will that be the end of the message? Of course not. God will raise up someone else to preach the same message. That's what God's always done throughout the history of the world. So never say, oh, brother so-and-so said, what are we going to do now? The word lives on. He was just a voice. And the word endures long after the voice. And God will raise up. God will raise up another voice. There for many years and still some today, people were all in a tither because all the preachers were getting old and the Lord wasn't calling anybody young. What are we going to do? They're just a voice. It's not like the word's being destroyed. God will raise up. And has he not? God will raise up other voices. He always does. The word is the solution. The voice isn't the solution. The word is the solution. The word is the answer. The word is the remedy for what plagues mankind. And we are the voice. I've gotten so many people mad at me through the years that it really doesn't concern me anymore. It's not something that I give a whole lot of thought to. I don't sit around and think, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't tell this one about the Lord because he's going to get upset. That really doesn't cross my mind. We're the voice. Yes, they might get upset, but that's not our job. We're the voice. And as Home Baptist Church has upset a lot of people through the years. I mean, if you were to bring in all the people that have been upset with Home Baptist Church, we wouldn't have enough room to seat them all. But we must continue to just be the voice. And yes, we'll, by being the voice in the wilderness, Home Baptist Church will upset some other people. There'll be people who will come, and there'll be people who go away angry, and they'll tell their friends, oh, those guys are a bunch of nuts. But the voice must continue to speak. No matter what. We as a church are the voice in the wilderness. And it is our job, it is our responsibility, being the voice, to draw attention to the Word. That's what we're here for. We're here to draw attention to this book. We're here to draw attention to the one who personifies this book, Jesus Christ. That is our mission. And we do that in a wilderness. We do that in a desert. But thank God, you look back just in your lifetime. Just think about since the time you've been saved. How many voices God has sent. God has always had a voice in the wilderness. How many voices in the wilderness you have known personally? What a blessing. And how many churches continue to be that voice? Churches have fallen. Preachers have fallen. Preachers have passed on. But God still has a voice in the wilderness. And I believe He always will. He'll always have that voice. And aren't you glad that you are that voice? You are that voice in the wilderness. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. Don't be afraid of how you might be received. Don't be afraid to tell somebody, that's wrong.
What you're doing is sin. That's what the voice does. Don't be afraid to invite people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do as a voice. But we live in a day where people are sensitive about everything. And political correctness. And even Baptists, they've gotten concerned with political correctness. And I'm not saying we ought to be rude, we shouldn't be ignorant or anything like that, but we are to declare the Word of God. That's what we're to declare. The voice says, the Word says, sodomy is an abomination. That's what it says. We're the voice. We're to declare that. Oh, that's not, you can get in trouble for saying that. We're the voice in the wilderness. Do you realize that you can go to jail for saying that? We are the voice. We're not to let the ungodly silence the voice. We're to declare what God's Word says. Stealing, still stealing. Fornication, adultery, still the same. Murder, still the same. We're the voice. It doesn't matter what public opinion says. We are the voice in the wilderness. And we need to act like that. We need to be that voice in the wilderness. And I believe God has always protected His churches. God has always protected His men, and God will continue. God will continue to protect His churches, but we, in the meantime, we are the voice in the wilderness. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us in singing.